This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder. Moving from the historical thinking of Vladimir Putin to the alarm raised in Kyiv these last days because of the largest nuclear power plant in Europe at Zaporizhia in the Dnieper River Valley. Grave risk for weeks and weeks since the Russians occupied in March, but more so because there is said to be shelling, fighting, other bad acting on site and around Zaporizhia's nuclear power plant, leading to an episode during the week, fog of war, in which power was cut from the incoming four lines to the reactor buildings where you must keep the water coolant flowing so that it doesn't overheat the way it did in Fukushima after the electricity failed. And for a while, we're told, they had to rely on backup generators, diesel-driven. However, that was solved momentarily. We're waiting for the IAEA team, said to be on its way or negotiating its entry into Zaporizhia. I'm not certain that they can achieve anything other than tell us what the state is of the operating facilities. Not all the reactors are working. One or two are. However, this crisis was emphasized again by President Zelensky, two or three days in a row. And Professor, I add, in a conversation I had with a correspondent in Bucharest, Romania this past week, I learned that Romania has distributed iodine pills to its own population and also to the population of Moldova, that's one state closer to the possibility of the wind sending radiation against the Black Sea basin, the way Chernobyl sent radiation into Central Europe in the 20th century. Your measure of Kyiv at this point, Professor?
Well, in connection with what you've just mentioned, the Zaporizhia nuclear power complex, which is the largest nuclear generating facility in all of Europe, I don't think Kyiv can do much about it. This is really madness. Because it could lead to a Chernobyl. You can't aim fallout. If the Russians cause this thing to go up, or if anybody does, we have an unprecedented disaster, and also really an act of madness. This is like Hitler's command that all of France and Germany, that everything should be destroyed because the Germans were not worthy of his leadership. My own view, and this may strike some as odd, is that the only safe option is for Western countries to do a rapid operation to secure the reactor and to surround it with a perimeter that cannot be destroyed. I would make two points to support what may seem like a reckless proposal. The first is that in the recent trip of Mrs. Pelosi to Taiwan, United States signal interference with communications was so effective that it completely blinded all of the Chinese radars, reconnaissance planes, reconnaissance ships, and so forth, and they could not even locate Mrs. Pelosi's plane. That is how good our countermeasures are. So I would say the first point is that we could, I believe, I'm not a military expert, we could blind Russian defenses. And their air defenses in Ukraine are not particularly robust, long enough for, say, the SAS or some really good team to go in there, quickly secure the reactor, and then secure a perimeter. Otherwise, what is the worst possible thing you could be next door to? An unsecured reactor, which is under attack. Remember what a disaster Chernobyl was, and how much worse it would have been had it not been for Alexander Legasovs and the other heroic Russians, some of whom gave their lives to cap the thing. And even today, it's just capped. I mean, if the cap gets broken, it could go off. But this is it's not a joker. I mean, this is a hangman's card in the deck that we're playing in the Ukraine. This is something that could lead to a disaster unlike anything we've ever seen. And therefore, I believe that we should have a plan to fix it ourselves. I think you're quite right when you suggest that the UN may not be the ones to do it. So Ukraine faces that. But of course, Russia also faces that. Radiation they don't carry passports. They don't stop at national boundaries. You never know where it's going to go. Having said that, I think that this other factor I mentioned, which is the click and the closing of the door to peace, causes us to realize that Ukraine is now slowly becoming, in effect, a NATO member. Their level of equipment and so forth is increasing very steadily. They are being trained in the use of the most advanced weapons, and I believe that they will have the capacity at some point to effectively to drive the Russians out. Although what Mr. Putin has suggested indicates that he doesn't want that, and he's willing to pour even more Russians into this has been the war that has cost the most Russians since the end of World War II, which of course cost vastly more. So the other point about Ukraine is that although she is stronger than she's ever been, very impressive now, sophisticated, she only has a population of 40 million. Most of those are not military. Many of those have fled. And she depends precariously on NATO and allies for things that she cannot produce herself. But of course, Russia can't produce things herself. So we may be heading, if we're heading for peace at all, it's going to be a peace of exhaustion. But I think that Ukraine has now moved to a far more central position in world politics than anybody expected. And certainly all of the fantasies we had about how there was going to be a diplomatic settlement of this are gone. After what they've been through, if the Russians win, they're going to take over all of Ukraine and they're going to try to expunge Russian culture. They've tried that before, but this time I think they'll be more effective at expunging. If and when Zelensky or the Ukrainian government wins, they're going to consolidate a state which will be something that is almost inconceivable, that will really be an enemy of Russia. Because in the past, in the days of the Soviet Union and the Ukrainian Republic, those people more or less got along fine. Of course, you had Stalin's terrible starvation during collectivization in Ukraine. But remember, there was famine and starvation and massive killing and everything all over Russia and the Soviet Empire in those days. But the whole character of Russia's relations with her neighbors is going to be changed for the worse by this intervention in Ukraine. Even if the Ukrainians lose, which I don't think they're going to.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, commenting on Keefe's point of view at the 6 months mark of the war in Europe, not Ukraine, in Europe. And we're going to turn to Europe at the 6 month mark, the capital of NATO and the capital of the EU in Brussels. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.